ladies and gentlemen, this is the Above the Bar podcast, a show about a middle-aged father, current events, and how these things affect my everyday life. Alrighty, folks, we are bellied back up to the bar. The door is open. We're all hanging out again. It is Wednesday. We have kind of a special guest with us tonight. If you saw earlier, we were trying to figure out plenty of good nicknames for Adam. We had the Terminator of Tempe, the Phoenix of Phoenix.
Hey.
We can go with that one. That's a good one right there. What else did we have? We had the Slayer of Flagstaff. I was going to call you the Yuma Yummy, but that's a whole nother Marine Corps thing. That's a whole thing I have to tell you about why Marines call all the girls in Yuma Yummies. That's a whole nother subject. But we have Mr. Adam Stewart joining us, a master of the sweet sciences. Keep them hands below your waist. They are deadly weapons. We don't need nobody getting hurt today. Brother, welcome to the bar.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Absolutely. And as always, folks, we got to do a little bit of that housekeeping. Those are important things for us. That way we can get everybody to know what we got going on, what's happening here at the bar. So first thing, as always, but over my back, you got sticker and a cause. We got our big sticker here. One of my top three Ravens is from your way. Old T Sizzle. He's an Arizona guy.
Okay.
T Sizzle came back to Arizona for a little bit, did his best, but I think I have to say we can get into football because we're going to get into football with you because that's an important part of your whole story. But I say my Ravens are probably one of the best teams at knowing when it's time to ditch somebody. Like they got it figured out. And then the other thing that we have to do at all times so we can make sure everyone knows about our show, knows about the bar, knows that it's open, is make sure you take a moment, folks, and share away. Everyone needs to hear this. If you're listening to this right now, you're one of Adam's friends, my friends, one of our loyal listeners, make sure you take a moment, give this thing a 5-star rating, make sure you're subscribing, because that is the only way that this thing keeps going with other people. And maybe someday I'll get to retire and I can just do podcasts all day long and I can talk to people. Wouldn't that be, my wife would appreciate that fact, because at that point I would be talking to other people and I wouldn't be bothering her. But she would appreciate that fact. I'll just hide out in the basement and just talk to people on podcasts. But as we get going, Mr. Adam, he is a professional boxer standing in at 6'6" with a 79.5-foot reach, 32 years old. I don't know. I mean, he's a heavyweight, so I mean, you can figure out what weight class he's more of like a George Foreman heavyweight than a Vander Holyfield heavyweight. I've watched some fights. I gotta ask him right now. You thought your step. We've taken through some steps to unlock your account. Facebook just locked my account away. This is not good. Confirm this is your account. Yep. This is funny. I've never had Facebook lock my account out.
Oh, yeah. 32 years old.
You have to turn it down while we're doing that one, and you can share away, but this is funny. I guess it's because I shared it too many times. This is a new one. So, folks, lesson learned today. If Facebook locks your account, you can't. I've never had my account locked. 05359. That was the code they gave me. It doesn't matter. 053. If anybody else knows it, because you can only use it once. But let's see if I can get my account unlocked. Oh, Facebook, please unlock my account. Oh shit. This is crazy, man. I've never had them do it. So we're still on YouTube and I'm still recording the audio. But that's crazy. So, as I was saying, 616. Oh shit. This is the funniest thing. I've tried too many times. Oh God. So we'll keep going with the story. So anybody who's lost us here, we'll keep going with the story. But how did you get into, so you started off, you were a football player.
Yep.
That was your gig. You were into, you were a outside line. Now, where'd you go to school at for college? Now you were outside linebacker.
I was here in Phoenix at a community college, a Glendale Community College here in Phoenix for 2 seasons. And then I had a bunch of fluoride offers. I wasn't the best in the classroom, so I had to go the Division II route. So I went to Pittsburgh State University, Pitt State Gorillas in Kansas.
Okay.
Man, these flies are crazy. It's been raining, so the flies are out like crazy.
Now, what's that got to be like? Like, that's a whole nother topic in and of itself, is flies in or rain in Arizona. That's like...
Yeah, it doesn't happen. We've got more rain this year than like ever before. I think I'm gonna go in the back room. Bear with me.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's that whole when people are like, global warming, it's not real. Oh, I hear peanuts.
Yeah, the kids. Oh. I had them inside, so, and I was outside, but that's not gonna work. Although I have to knock some flies out on camera.
We could see you actually boxing flies. Would that be the next move?
Hey, Muhammad Ali said it's a better workout catching flies than hitting a speed bag.
Oh, that's too funny.
Yeah.
All right. So select the email and phone number to remove. I don't know. Remove that one because I don't even use that one. This is so crazy. I hope I can get this all back going. This is the worst. This is absolutely the funniest thing that's happened to me while in the middle of a show, that my shit just shut down. And people are probably like, where the hell did it go? Why can't I watch this? That's because I done fucked my whole thing up. So you started off doing that. You were in college, Division II. Any prospects at any point that you could have been in a pro, like gone pro with it?
That was my goal, but I was still a knucklehead. I only played 2 years of high school football.
Okay.
I was incarcerated my entire senior year of football, or senior year of high school.
Okay.
And then I put my GED in there, and then I walked on to Glendale Community College, just kind of a big mean guy. And so I pretty much learned there at Glendale Community College. I was All-American and whatnot, and I had all the big, you know, LSU, Boise State, all the big offers. But like I said, I wasn't the best in the classroom. I kind of had a bad attitude, a chip on my shoulder. I didn't really care about the school side of it. But I ended up getting that full ride scholarship to Pitt State.
Okay.
I played there my junior year, but I was a West Coast kid with a bad attitude in a small town in Kansas, and
didn't work out for you.
It didn't work out for me. No, they ended up pulling my scholarship right before my senior year.
How about that? So they were just like, "Look, we're not dealing with you. We're not dealing with this." You know,
They told me I was a menace to society, and they had to pull my scholarship because I beat up the whole basketball team and the whole baseball team and a bunch of random people. I just like to fight, man. I had a bad attitude, a chip on my shoulder, so I just fought all the time. Coaches caught wind of it, and they pulled me in at the end of the year and said, "We're not renewing your scholarship. We got to get you out of the small town." So that's when I started fighting.
So now, how does that even happen? Where you're like, yeah, I've got to get back into, I've got to take my time. I've got to get myself back into it. I'm going to go box. Like, how does that even connect with each other?
I was in a small, like a DMV courthouse in the small town in Kansas. And I was walking out after I got registration or something for my truck that I just got. And, this guy was looking at me, and he was staring at me, and I had a bad attitude. And I said, "What the hell are you looking at?" And he asked me if I fought, and I said, "Yeah, I fight on the street." And he said, "I look for you redheads because you're the toughest son of bitches out there." And he ended up ripping a piece of paper and writing his name and his phone number on it. And he said, "My name is Bob Sprague. I own an MMA gym up the street. You should come check it out." So that's how it all started. This guy just looked at me and said, "I look for you big redheads," you know? So I went in the next day and started training.
just like that, like you big redhead sun guns, I try to find you, and that's all it was.
Yeah, my kids are tough as nails. My one son's tough as nails. He's a redhead. I look for your redheads. Come check it out. And I went into his gym. I checked it out. Me and him, we linked, you know, we meshed well together. And he taught me the MMA and striking. And I actually only trained for two weeks, and I had my first fight after training for 2 weeks, and then I knocked it out in 41 seconds.
Now, was that the one that I saw online that said it was that was your first pro fight? Because I watched your first pro fight online, or was that just an amateur?
That was just an amateur. Yeah, amateur. It was 2010, right before Christmas, called Seasons Beatings in Joplin, Missouri. And I worked a 12-hour night shift.
I woke up.
Seasons Beatings. Yeah, right before Christmas, called Seasons Beatings. And I fought some guy. He was like he was a jiu-jitsu guy, and I was just a street striker, and I went in there just mad as hell, and I knocked his head off in 40 seconds, and that's where it all started.
So how do we – so then that becomes an interesting question. So how do you go from, you know, this guy's teaching you MMA, you know, all that world to the boxing world? Because they always – you know, you hear it out – all the time, you know, they're so different from each other. They're not the same thing, you know. Boxers, you know. Well, we've seen it. We see Floyd Mayweather boxing and whooping Conor McGregor's ass. But at the same time, you know, I think they're very different from each other.
Yeah. So I had that first fight, and I went right back to the gyms, kept training and trying to get another fight lined up. And then I get a phone call from my junior college football coach. He said, hey, there's these guys that came through the college, and they're looking for a big guy, 6'3" and taller and 220 pounds and heavier. They're trying to recruit heavyweight boxers and bring back heavyweight boxing. It's a program in Los Angeles. He said, take it seriously. I said, okay. So they sent me an application, and I filled it out, and they got back with me and said, we're going to fly you out to Los Angeles and do an assessment test on you and 20 other people, and we're going to pick the best five. So I said, okay, I'm working a dog food warehouse for $7.25 an hour, 12-hour night shifts. I'll come to Los Angeles and try out this damn program. So I like fighting, obviously. And they flew me out, and Evander Holyfield and Sugar Ray Leonard and, you know, just the top-notch coaches in this program. Come to be, it's a $60 million Olympic heavyweight boxing program for the 2012 Olympics. This man, Michael King, put up that money to bring back heavyweight boxing, and he wanted a 2012 U.S. Olympian. So me and 20 other people, big old guys from the NFL, off the streets, from different sports, they tested us for 2 days and just watched our body mechanics, seeing if we're coachable, seeing if we have what it takes. And then the last day before we left, they had us go in front of judges, and they had us like shadow box and move around just to watch our fundamentals. And they checked all of our joints to see if we're healthy. And they sent us on our way and said, we'll get back to you in a few weeks. And then a few weeks go by, and I don't hear nothing back. And I'm like, crap, I didn't make the cut. And then I ended up calling them after a month went by. I didn't hear anything. And they said, it's taking a little longer than we expected. And like a 5 weeks, they call me and they said, you're one of the ones. Can you, we want you. Can you, when can you be out here? And I said, give me a week. I sold everything I had for $100. Boom.
Everything I had.
Sold it all. Just someone that would take it off my hands. I said, girlfriend, I'm, you know, with my wife now.
That's why. Okay. I was going to say, now, is that the same person from back then?
Same person, Catherine. Yeah. I met her in psychology class. I said, I got it.
She thought you were a case study, huh?
Oh, yeah. And I sold everything I had for $100 and took off to Los Angeles. Fully furnished apartment. I had a maid that cleaned it once a week. A professional chefs that cooked every one of our meals. A rides to and from the gym. We trained 8 hours a day, 6 days a week from the best in the world. And that's where I got my foundation.
Bro, that's incredible.
It was the craziest thing in the world.
So just 20 guys? Come out here, see who they are. Like big hosses, every single one of them.
Yeah, NFL monsters. Yeah, humongous. There's two 300 pounders, 6'7", you know, Yeah, everything. From 6'3 and taller, 220 and heavier.
Martin says 79.5 foot reach. No, inch reach. If his reach was 79.5 feet, did I say feet? Maybe I screwed up and said feet. I meant to say inches.
Yeah.
Because if he's got a 79.5 foot reach, they don't make a long sleeve shirt like that.
The ring's not big enough.
He just wrapping around, just smashing dudes just with straight arm. It'll take about 2 weeks to get there, but that shot's coming.
Yeah.
So we go through, this is the 2012, they're prepping you for the 2012 Olympics. What happens?
I get there in 2011. I have three fights. There were some guys, so they did that. They picked, you know, they brought 20 guys in. They picked the best five. They did that like every 6 months or so. So there were some guys that were there from years ago that had been in the program for years. And there was like levels. They're like, you start green, move up to silver, bronze, you know, bronze, silver, and gold. And each guy, we got paid to be there. So like I came in at green. So I got like X amount of dollars a month on top of my fully furnished apartment. And there was guys up at the gold that like had, you know, 30, 50, 100 fights. But they just kept bringing us in, so we're all like training with each other and the best, and just hoping that someone would just shine and just be incredible. They did tell me, they said, we wish we would have had you earlier, because you could have been something great. But I didn't have enough experience. I had three fights, and
right,
I got through in 2011 and 2012 Olympics. Like, that's not enough experience to be there. So we had one guy, Dom. He went to the Olympics. He lost in the trials. They ended up ending the program and just turning the guys pro. I didn't feel ready. They wanted to turn me pro, but I said, I'm not ready yet. I'm going to stay amateur and keep getting my experience. And that's what I did. I stayed amateur, stayed living in California. My wife graduated, girlfriend at the time, graduated college. She got a job, landed a job in Los Angeles. And I just stayed amateur, got a job as well. And
just use your shoulder amateur, model, what you're telling me.
Won all the local tournaments. And then in 2016, when I felt ready, then I turned pro.
So what you're telling me is you got yourself a sugar mama, is that what I hear?
She's solid. Like, she's
like, rock the wrestlers solid. Are like, I need somebody to take care of me. You're over here, living the life of Riley. Got your sugar mama. You get the box.
She did carry me on her shoulders for a while, because I have those felonies from when I was younger, and I couldn't find a job for crap, and I was making $90. I was making $90 a week. I have two felonies, on my record that are dangerous. And she was carrying me on her back, and I was making $90 a week passing out flyers. And I was looking at it like, this is cardio. I'm passing out flyers door to door on these beach cities. And I was like, this is cardio. And then I finally reached out to my uncle, and he got me a job with a great company, Climatech. So that was good. That was a big, big help. And then I just started. Then I really started growing up.
Well, it's funny, not to switch subjects here. You talk about the felonies. We've had some guys on here before, and it's actually a topic I bring up often. Is I have a real personal problem with. You did your time.
Yep.
You paid your dues.
Yep.
You made your mistake. Why does it have to be held over your head?
I know. Yeah.
We sit there. We tell people, when your kids do something wrong, you punish them. And then you let them know that you love them, and then you move on.
Uh-huh.
But for some reason, as a society, we make our mistakes, and then it just, well, we're going to let you out. You got 7 years of probation, and then now it's this. So if they can pull it up out of your record, you can't have this anymore in your life. So I'm one of those guys where I believe, like, you paid your dues, you made your mistake. Let a man move on and grow up, because if you don't, he never will.
Yeah.
You're a shining example of somebody who's sitting there and says, hey, I made a mistake. I'm going to grow beyond it. And you're lucky you had people in your corner, boxing reference like that, in your corner, who looked out for you. But how many guys out there have that same situation? They want to do better afterwards, but society keeps saying, oh, you've got, bitch, I was 16. I was 17.
Yeah, just turned 17 years old. Charged an adult, though. Yeah, it was a bad deal. But I'm glad I didn't let that define me. And I just
I just
kept growing. Just having a strong, wife, woman in the corner, and a good foundation. I just, and look at life now. You know, life is beautiful. Look at, I have a beautiful wife, two healthy kids, a little boy on the way.
What? Remember, Sean is spelled S-H-A-W-N. Remember that, S-H-A-W-N. That's how you spell Sean.
Yeah, he'll be born in any day now. I have a three-year-old, a five-year-old, and a little boy. Two girls and a little boy will be here any day now.
Congratulations, brother. Yes, that is so awesome.
Yeah,
see, I normally send everybody a shirt after the show. I'll have to send you a onesie.
There we go.
I could say you're gonna be the first person to get a onesie out of the deal. I'll have to do that. Like, you get the bar podcast onesie. That's so awesome. Yeah,
I'll have them throw them up.
Have them throw them up there. Nathan says the same thing. You know, it should be forgotten. You know, we're all of us around here feel the same way, brother. You know, there are like exceptions, but those exceptions also should come with a 22 behind the back of your ear, and we move on from that. Mm-hmm. That's a whole nother subject. Yes, so we're into this. You've got top-notch trainers. It sounds like it's almost like a survival of the fittest kind of thing also inside of this house, where it was like, you know, we're bringing in five new guys every 6 months. If you ain't making the cut and you're a green side at that point, was there a chance that, like, Nick, the new guy, was coming in, you're out?
That happened to me. They said, welcome to Cutthroat Island. And towards the end, like, people started hearing about the All-American Heavyweights. We're these monsters. We train nonstop. We get paid to do it. As amateurs, no one wanted to fight us, so they turned us against each other. And I had to fight my buddy Paulus. Yeah, he was a 6'7", 265-pound Russian. And they made us fight, and they said the loser goes home. And this guy was my friend. He was a good buddy. We lived in the same complex together, you know, where they housed us. And they said, you guys have to fight. And this was like February 2012, right before the Olympics. Right, like, they're making these final cuts, and they made us fight each other. And I beat them. And they man, right after I beat him, they said, see you later. Pack your stuff up. Figure something else out.
So you beat him and still had to leave?
I beat him. He had to leave. And then and then the Olympics came. Dom lost in the trials. And they said, we're ending the program. We're turning these guys pro. You want to turn pro? No, I'm not ready.
Well, then, now that's another question. And as a guy, we'll get you. Nate knows nothing.
Lick your baby bottle.
Nick knows nothing about sports. Nate is like, I have to teach Nate everything about sports. He's in my fantasy football league with me, and we've got some stuff coming up with some NFL players. He knows a lot of Baltimore Ravens, but we're gonna have to teach him about sports. But you know, so they end this program. Now, I don't know the difference between, like, what does it mean to go pro? Like, what does that take?
Have experience and be ready to get in there with the big dogs. You got to go do like $700 worth of medical testing. Who's this Nate? He's going to be my next opponent, man.
Nate, he's not talking about you. He's talking about me. I'm full of shit. So look at that, Nate. I almost got your ass whooped. Because Nate said that I was full of shit and don't believe the things I say. Nate almost got his ass whooped. See that? Don't mess with an angry redhead. I got so many of them in this family.
So, you do a bunch of medical. It's pretty much you brain scan, heart scan, and you do all this medical testing. And if you feel ready and you have a decent, you know, if you can fill a couple seats in a sell a couple tickets, and they'll turn you pro. A lot of guys aren't ready for it, and they do it anyways just to make a living. But really, anyone can go down and turn pro if you pass all the medicals.
So it's really more it's more just pay your money and you can go be a pro. It's not like, hey, you have to have done this, you have to have done that.
Nothing along those lines. Not a certain amount of amateur fights, nothing, no. But you want to have that, because it's like your resume. Like, okay, I won the California Golden Gloves. I won the Blue and Gold. I won the Desert Showdown tournaments for 2 years. Like, I say all these things. Like, that's your resume, and the boxing world gets to know you. And then there's managers and promoters and, you know, a team that wants to, you know, pick you up. So if you're smart, you're going to do it like that.
Here, real quick, because Nate's on right now. Nate, just understand, my daddy always told me you can't outrun Motorola. And ain't nobody ever beat Smith and Wesson. But Jeanette, super fan Jeanette, she's got a great question. Do you miss the amateur ranks and the amateur fighting environment?
Yeah, I do. The only part I don't miss is they had made me shave my beard. You have to be clean shaven in the amateurs. I don't miss that part, but the amateurs was a blast. You know, going, just taking off on the weekends with a coach to a tournament, you know, far away, and just staying in a hotel, and you never know who you're going to fight, just whoever shows up to the tournaments. Like, that was a good time. And it's all, that's all experience. You know, your record didn't really matter. It's just the experience and exposure. And amateurs was fun. It was cool. I do miss it.
Now, does amateur, it almost sounds like amateurs was more of a, yeah, you're fighting each other, but it was a camaraderie kind of a thing, where pros is you got bills to pay.
Yeah, for sure. They're still serious. They're still real serious in the amateurs too, but I don't know.
That guy's probably pushing carts at Walmart after this is over with, you know, because he's got that, where a pro, you know, you're a pro. I always think about, you know, we'll stay with football for a minute. Todd Heap, big fan of Todd Heap, Baltimore Raven tight end. He said when he came to the pros in 2001, he was like, I was used to playing in college, and everybody kind of went back to the dorms or went back to the house, and you hung out with each other. In the pros, when it's over, I got something I got to go do. I got a wife. I got a kids. I got other things in my repertoire. Is that what the pros feels like for you?
Yeah, for sure. It's business. Yeah, it's business. I'm not going out partying, doing all after party. A lot of people do, but I'm taking it real serious. I'm trying to be something great. So,
well, I'll tell you, I've watched a couple of your fights. I posted the big knockout.
Yeah, that was fight. Fun. That was awesome. I needed that bad.
Well, that's got to be so many things are adrenaline pumps, but when you hit a man and drop him like a sack of shit, for lack of a better, I mean, yes, that pump, I mean, look, I tell people all the time, I've been punched. I grew up at a time when you were still allowed to punch each other in the face and the school didn't get involved. I have been punched in the face many times. 20 years in the Marine Corps, we punched each other in the face and thought it was cutesy. But I just want to put this out there, and then I want you to tell me what that feel, if you can describe that feeling. I did 3 years of very intense training in Aikido. I loved it. My brown belt was a legal ass whooping, but one of the black belts was a former boxer.
Mm-hmm.
Brother, I have never been hit in my life like you guys hit.
Oh,
it is different.
It's way different.
He was watching my exhale, and I didn't realize it, that he could pick up on my exhale and hit me, and I dropped because I was like, and then he began to kick me because it was what it was.
Yeah.
He was like, bitch, ain't nobody going to let you go after they hit you one time. I was like, absolutely. And I had to get up. But what was that feeling like? And that other picture, I want to know, was that a kidney? Was that a liver shot in that one picture?
Oh, or yeah.
Was it a liver shot?
Yeah, liver. I call it the liver quiver. I've knocked out two guys with it.
No.
I bait them up high. I bait them up high so they shoot their hand up. And as soon as that elbow shoots up, I dig into the liver. And most of the time, they're breathing wrong. So it just sinks in. It just sinks through. And they drop and they flop around on the ground. I have two pretty gnarly liver quivers, I call them.
Oh, bro. There is like Oscar De La Hoya. Yes, my memory loss has a lot of times being punched in the head. Oscar De La Hoya, that was the first time I really knew what a liver punch was. Cause I remember my first pro fight was Holyfield Stewart.
Nice. You know,
that was the first fight I ever watched. Loved it. Roy Jones. So I'm from that era. Roy Jones, Holyfield, Tyson. I tried to get into some of the newer guys. Not Macho Camacho Jr. What's his name? He's a junior. He's a lightweight, but either way, that's the heavyweights. I hope you, that's a great question in itself. How do you feel about the heavyweights today? You know, you're a heavyweight pro.
Yeah.
What do you feel about that? That used to be what carried pro boxing, was big monsters like yourself in that world. How do you feel about it today?
It was down for quite a while, but it's coming. It's on the uprise for sure. There's a lot of top dogs up there right now that are keeping it exciting. You know, the Furies, the Joshua, the, you know, little Ruiz came in there, Michael Hunter. You know, there's a lot of top dogs that are coming in there. A lot of them are my friends too, because they were part of that program. We're part of that program. And so a lot of the guys,
really?
I just jumped up the ranks after that last fight to the top 25 in the U.S. And now I'm looking at the guys on the rank. There's like seven of them. They're all my buddies, you know, that are, you know, top 10, top 15. I'm like, all right, well, you know, when it comes down to it, we got to pay the bill. So we're going to fight our buddy. But, yeah, it's good. It's good right now.
Time to eat what you kill.
There's a lot. UFC is huge, though. UFC is huge. So that's getting a lot of the light. But the boxing, man, we're still here. We're strong. We're still getting paid better than these guys.
And Jeanette's got a great question. And we're going to ask Jeanette's question. But you bring up a great point. Years ago, and God, I wish I could remember who said it. A lot of people want to talk about, well, MMA is so brutal. MMA is so brutal. I'll help fix that for the folks that listen to this. Trust me. Go ahead and do 10 or 12 rounds, 3 minutes a pop, where it's body shots and head shots, body shots and head shots, and let someone do that to you. And keep in mind now that you can hit the canvas and you've got 10 seconds for your body to recover, get back to your feet. And if another human being who is not medically trained thinks that, well, your eyes don't look too googly at this moment, you can go ahead and punch each other in the face again. MMA has none of those rules.
Mm-hmm.
You drop, you're knocked out. They feel you're knocked out. It's over. Absolutely. Yeah. I am not taking anything from any of those guys. I have had a joint lock put on me plenty enough times in training. I know what it feels like to just want someone to please stop because you're going to cry. It hurts so bad to be locked up.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not boxing. There's a reason they call it the sweet science. Yeah. There's a reason that these guys like Adam, who, listen to me, folks, you got to take a moment and check out his gear. He's got the Battleborn items. And what's neat about it, I love the fact that he's got a brand new shirt on right now for Battleborn. They take the, instead of it being BATTLE, they put a number 3, flip it, and then born.com. Check that stuff out. It's great gear. Is it training gear too?
Yeah, training gear. Just it relates to everyone. Battleborn, we're all Battleborn. Everyone deals with, you know, struggles and battles in life. So we kind of built a little deal. The back of the shirt was actually really cool. My buddy, I don't know if you see that.
We can see it.
The last
of the back of the shirt. So the back of the shirt says the last. What does it say again? The last what?
The last of a dying breed. So I train at an MMA gym here in Phoenix, and Henry Corrales, he's in the UFC. Every time I walk in, he would just say, "The biggest dog I know." And every time he'd introduce me to someone, he said, "This is my biggest friend, and he's the last of a dying breed." So this was kind of, it's actually his birthday today. Happy birthday, Henry Corrales. But this was kind of, you know, inspired by him, and we just made it, and it sounded, it was pretty cool.
Everybody's jumping on here, brother. We're getting everyone. So Jeanette wants to know, apart from actual boxing or boxing training, what is your favorite? And you can tell she's from England. See how she spelled favorite with a U?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I love my Jeanette. Yeah. She's taller than I am, I think, too. But what is your favorite way to train other than, you know, getting in the ring and hitting a bag or something like that?
I like running the mountains. You know, I've like 20 miles of trails right here in my neighborhood. And I just recently had a huge breakthrough where I can just run, you know, like 4 miles straight up a straight incline as a, you know, 6'6", 235 pound guy. Like I love the trail running, you know, running mountains. I love it.
It's a different animal, isn't it?
Oh man. Just a breakthrough and just to find that like happy place. And you just get that runner's high. And it's
a awesome. Real thing. People don't realize that it's a real thing.
It is.
Nate only runs to the refrigerator. he ain't never run nowhere else.
Yeah.
So I don't know who this person is, but they seem to like you a lot. Catherine Elizabeth Stewart says the best thing that Adam's boxing coach ever did for us was put me in the ring to spar against him. Whole new level of appreciation.
That's my wife. That's my beauty queen.
Well, Catherine, we thank you for taking care of Big Adam and making sure he was on point. Justin Bales, he's all about the
Battleborn partner. That's my business partner, man. We started Battleborn 1 year ago.
One year yeah. Battleborn. I love it. Now you're not prior service, right?
No, because my felonies. All my buddies were. My friends were Marine Corps machine gunners. Yes, sir.
And then Nathan, just another FU. This is what we do all day with Nathan. But so,
yes, so to my, what my wife just said, everyone at my amateur fights, everyone says, Adam, do this, do that. What are you waiting for? Do this, do that. And so my coach said, come on to the gym. Come down to the gym. Here, Adam's not even going to punch. You're just going to try to hit him for 1 3-minute round. So my wife got in there. She's in shape. She works out. You know, we're young in our prime. And she's coming at me. She starts grunting and trying to hit me. And I'm just like shoulder rolling and catching and just toying with her and like body language and just kind of making them, you know, uncomfortable and kind of, oh, you just by body language, you can, you know, put someone in the corner. And at the end of it, she was like smoked, you know, just 1 3-minute round, her punching, just trying to punch me and me not even punching back. So she's like, okay, I have a whole new respect for it. Oh, I won't be as loud. tell you what to do. It was awesome. I wish so many more people would do that because, you know, everyone thinks, you know, they watch movies and they think that, you know, it's not that easy, especially no. Someone punching back, you know?
Yeah, that whole, like I said, it's just a different animal. The entire process of boxing, like I said, until you've really done it or been involved with somebody who really knows what they're doing, I am not that person in any way, shape, or form that knows what they're doing. When it comes to that, I am old school, been punched in the face, punched somebody else in the face, and eventually we will be done with this. Like I said, it's, until you've boxed or gotten in a ring, the closest I will – here, I'll give you a story, and you'll appreciate this. The closest I've been to that is in the Marine Corps, the best thing we used to ever do, and they don't even do it anymore. We used to have combat hitting skills, and they would take two guys in a similar weight class. So when I went to boot camp, I weighed 127 pounds. Yeah, I was light in the ass. I told you. Yeah. So for those of you who don't know it, you've heard me tell the stories how I'm the smallest person in my family. Adam is here. Adam, I told you how big I am.
Yeah.
Am I the smallest person on my father's side of the family that you know?
100%, yeah.
Like, not even close.
Yeah, not
like,
even.
Like, there are people that are almost a foot taller than I am.
Yeah, I'm small. I'm like small on this side of the family. Like when I go to the family gatherings, Thanksgiving or whatever, all at Uncle Jerry's house.
Are we related?
Well, yeah.
How are we related?
Uncle Jerry's your cousin, right?
Right. Jerry's my first cousin.
He's my uncle.
Are you? Okay.
Wait, so yeah, I've been to Baltimore. I watched Trent when he played for the Redskins. I watched the Redskins and the Ravens.
Hold on. Who's your dad?
Todd. They were Jerry and him were friends. When they were young,
So it's not like
my mom is sisters with Jerry's wife.
Okay, so it's on that side, it's over that way. So we are kind of related, in a roundabout about like West Virginia kind of way. We're related, shit. Like, I was trying to figure that one out because you were like, yeah, Uncle Jerry. I'm like, fuck, is Jerry your uncle? Wait a second, are we? Because look, you have no idea. Like, that's a whole show in and of itself. And Jerry won't come on. I tried to get him to come on.
Yeah. The old lion.
The old lion. He ain't coming off. He still got a little look. Y'all have no idea. There's a reason I'm in the Marine Corps. Y'all have no idea.
Uncle Jerry, he's been a big help. He's been a good role model in my life for sure. He's a good man. Hard man. It's good. Tough, you know, tough love.
He's harder than a bag of nails, ain't he?
Oh, man. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, look, Nate's ready to go. He's wanting triangle chokes and shit.
Ooh, there we go.
Triangle chokes. Now, Jeanette says she tried boxing once, but all I was good at was pew, pew noises.
Absolutely. Everyone has. That's funny. Everyone has a different. Some people have a hess, ha, ha. Pew, pew. Yeah, everyone has different noises that they just make as they're grunting, you know.
It's being a Star Wars fan. She just makes the pew, pew.
Yeah, pew, pew, pew.
So keeping this moving forward. So we become a pro fighter. First pro fight, I watched that the other night. And you fought a guy who was like had like 20 some fights under his belt. Your first fight.
My first professional fight, the guy had 3 fights.
Oh, was it? Okay. I thought that the guy I watched, I thought, because it was like a handheld cam, like underneath the ring. It was like somebody was just trying to get it in for you.
Oh, is that when we had, do we have headgear on?
No, there's no headgear. It's just, I'll have to send you the video. It's on YouTube. Okay. And that's another thing, folks. Take a moment. Go look up Adam Stewart. Look up stewartboxing.com.
Yeah.
Take a moment. Look it up. It's got all Adam's fights coming up, all the things he's got related. Absolutely check out the Battleborn. Remember that battle is with the E is a 3. So it's battleborn.com. Check these items out. See what he's got out there for you. But I was watching one and it kept saying it was your first fight. Look at Nate's on tonight. Look at him. Nate, eat a bag of dicks. So it was something. I swear to you, they kept saying it was like the other guy had 20 some fights, but it was weird. It was like all like straight up 8mm camcorder, like this guy like underneath the ring. I'll have to send it to you, like whatever I was watching.
Yeah.
But what was that going from an amateur fight? You know, how many amateur fights did you have under your belt?
17.
So you 17 amateur fights under your belt. Now you're going to your first true pro fight.
Yeah.
Did it feel any different, or was it like, no, I'm just getting in the ring again?
Yeah, I was pretty calm my first fight. Yeah, I was just getting in the ring with a lot smaller gloves, no headgear. So you're kind of like, oh, the guy I was fighting, you know, he's another big dude, 6'4", 250 pounds. Had 3 fights. I had 0, you know, pro fights. But I felt pretty good. You know, I outpointed him. It was a good fight. I didn't, you know, it was a good fight. He moved a lot. He's real awkward, but I outpointed him, won my first fight, you know, big guy. And same with the second fight, same thing, a 6'5", 250 pounder. Beat the crap out of him. That's the only one I don't have a video of, but that's my favorite fight. That was right after Muhammad Ali.
You're in a documentary too, aren't you?
Yeah. A little documentary out there. Yeah, there's some videos. There's some little highlights and little clips. There's a lot that aren't on there just because, you know, too many people will be able to figure me out and get my stuff. But people have put them up that I have no control over. So what can you do? So you'll see some stuff, but you won't see a lot of the best stuff out there.
Now, you fought on ESPN.
Yeah.
I saw that. Now, the documentary, what was the documentary? Tell everybody about the documentary you're in.
A good buddy that I grew up with does like film, and he's just been doing a lot of photos for me, and putting clips together, and just kind of did a short little story about my life, just a little documentary talking about how I grew up and just some of the things that I mentioned earlier about, you know, going to jail, and, you know, we go a little deeper into it, but just a lot of my life story and just kind of how I got to where I'm at and how thankful and grateful I am for the life that I have now. And I got past that stuff, and I'm so thankful. I'm so glad that I've gotten past it, because so many people thought I'd be dead or in prison. And so did I, you know, but I decided to break the chain and go the opposite direction and just try to be a good man in this world and do what's right.
It's an amazing feeling to make people wrong, isn't it?
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Fucking amazing.
I love the doubters. I love the haters and the doubters and the people who are like, you're going to amount to nothing, or, you know, when I was leaving jail, they said, we'll see you back soon. I was like, not me. I learned my lesson, man. I learned my lesson from this stuff. I had a chip on my shoulder and I'd fight, but I wouldn't do the extreme stuff. I wouldn't rob people with swords or pull out guns on people anymore, you know?
I was an idiot.
I laugh about it, but it was bad. It was bad. I was an angry, pissed off kid.
But brother, I mean, it's so amazing. It's so impressive. I mean, nothing better to me than watching a man go ahead and show people that they're wrong and show them how great you are. So now you're a pro. If I remember my numbers right, 13-1?
11-1, 12-1. Yeah, I think
12-1?
Yeah, ranked 22 in the United States. Well, 8 months ago, I was ranked 104th, and then I fought 3 times, and now I jumped up to 22 in the United States, and I'm fighting again September 18th for the All-American Heavyweight Belt.
So you got a title shot coming up.
Yeah, for a belt.
Which I've never I quite just met with the promoter.
I just met with the promoter today, and he gave me the tickets, and he said, he showed me, man, you're fighting for the All-American Heavyweight belts because you're the All-American Heavyweight. I was like, hell yeah.
So now I will admit to this because I've never understood with pro boxing that all the different federations, the IBF, WBC, all these different groups, like, where does this one fall into that realm?
It's just a small little sister belt. It doesn't mean that much to me. It's cool, of course. Like, I'm fighting for a belt.
Absolutely.
And it is good for the resume. It's good for the, I don't know. I try not to get into that stuff. I was like, I just want to fight. Really, I just want to punch people in the face and fight and keep winning and winning and, you know, pay off a house, you know, in the end and just live, you know, have a good life with the family. But I really don't even know myself. I just know it's a belt. And he said, we're going to put it up for you. It's a vacant belt. We're going to put it up and you get to defend it. So, all right, cool. Keep moving me up in the ranks.
Now is the ultimate goal to do the $5 million in a suitcase everywhere you go? Oh, like, yeah. Mayweather?
Oh, no. I just want to have a big piece of land I can go hunt on and have some tractors and stuff and just good old boy stuff. You know, I'm not going to try to be flashy. I want to pay off a house, help out my family, and just live just a good, normal life, modest.
So I love my Jeanette, and someday I'm just going to make her become my co-host, but she won't do it. I'm just going to make her be my co-host because she has way better. I love engaging with people and, like, I get excited. She has way better questions than I do. So she wants to know, in your opinion, who was the greatest boxer or who inspired you the most?
Muhammad Ali. As soon as I got to the Olympic heavyweight boxing program and I was like, oh, I don't know much about boxing. Let me start looking. I found some videos of Muhammad Ali and there was a video called I'm going to show you how great I am. And, you know, just his quotes that he would say and just his character and his little swagger, if you will, I was like, holy smoke. So every single morning I'd wake up and I'd play that video. I'm going to show you how great I am. And just his quotes, you know, he's like, only last week I murdered a rock, injured a stone, hospitalized a brick. I'm so mean I make medicine sick. Like that, just the things that he said, just how he would rhyme. He's like, oh, last week I done something new for this fight. I've been chopping trees. He said, I have wrestled with an alligator. I done tussled with a whale, handcuff, lightning, throw thunder in jail. And I was just like, who is this guy? This is the coolest thing I've ever heard in my life. And I fell in love. And I was like, and just watched him and his jab, how fast and snappy.
Oh, his jab was incredible.
So I was like, okay, that's the most important thing. So now I have people, if you ask anyone that knows me, like I have one of the best jabs in the game. Because I watched Muhammad Ali, and then Larry Holmes also had such a great jab because he
hit man Ali's Larry support. Holmes.
Yeah, Larry Holmes. Yeah, so Muhammad Ali. Yeah, he inspired me, and just the way how light he was on his feet for a heavyweight, and how he moved, and how fast and snappy that jab was. But yeah, I just studied him and Lennox Lewis for sure. Lennox Lewis, big time, because we're the same size, and you know he was a badass boxer.
Well, I mean, he was a great counterpuncher, Lennox Lewis. Just like, I can't think of his name right now. Peter something. He was from that same class. He was the one that was supposed to be the next great thing. But, brother, I hope that you change the game because I love your attitude. I love you have it. I'm going to tell you, you have an infectious smile. For anyone who's not watching this, go check Adam out. At stuartboxing.com or the battleborn.com stuff. You got to check him out. Look up his videos on YouTube and share.
Yeah.
Sitting across from him right now at the bar and we're talking, he doesn't have an intimidating demeanor. When you watch him knock that dude out in the video that I shared and you see him do the full-on flex growl, like, this, here's my lunch money right now. You can have it.
We have to flip the switch for sure. That's what I'm doing for this next fight. I told my wife I'm gonna go away. I'm gonna go stay up in the woods, you know, 3 weeks before the fight and just transform into a, just a killer. Because I'm surrounded by my wife and two beautiful little kids, and I have, you know, life is so great. I gotta go back a little bit and dig to that savage animal and really transform, and really, because I'm still holding back on these guys. I've got this far, and I'm like fighting at 40% of what I'm capable of doing. So I'm gonna go out to the woods and be by myself until, you know, I won't see anyone until after the fight, and I'm really gonna transform and do something great and really just tap into something that I haven't tapped into yet that I know I have in me, and I can't wait for it.
What's that great boxing quote? Champions don't sleep on silk sheets or something along those lines.
Damn straight.
It's incredible, you know, just watching your videos, seeing what's out there, and just, and we're friends on Facebook. I've commented on stuff. This, as I say these things, folks, I see his little girls throwing hands, you know, they throw a good two piece. I'm going to let you know that the oldest one's got a quick two piece. She's got a little snap to her. It's incredible to me as this is going on. And you said September 18th?
Yeah, here in Phoenix.
September 18th in Phoenix. Tickets still available. People can still get out there and go see it.
Yep. Just holler at me. I just picked up 150 tickets today. And then once I sell out of those, then they'll be available online.
So go look up Adam. He's scalping his own tickets.
That's part of the game. You can fill seats, so they'll fight you. So I'm still in that part, you know, where we got to hustle and do the deal.
If my wife is watching right now, babe, we got to get the RV together. We're going to have to go ahead and fuel up. We're going out to Phoenix. Is it in Phoenix?
Yeah, Phoenix downtown. Yeah.
Going out to Phoenix. We're going to have to go ahead and fuel up and head out there and go watch some boxing. Go see Adam and figure out this whole family link that I didn't even realize where it was at. I knew it was like, it had to be there. As soon as he said Uncle Jerry, I was like, wait a sec. What? Yeah. There's a whole, we got some after hour stuff. We'll have to talk about.
There's like 40 of us cousins.
Oh, look, you have no idea. Like when you got to remember for the Murphy side, there's the West Coast Murphys and the East Coast Murphys.
Yeah.
They're very, very different, and there's a whole 23andMe has changed our lives. Listen, 23andMe has changed the Murphy's lives. Our grandfather, the story always is that our grandfather, when he passed away, there were more women crying that my mother and my aunt didn't know than they knew. That's a whole thing in and of itself. So we got these fights coming up. We got all these great things coming up. Now, you started off. This started off as an MMA gig.
Yeah.
2010. Any chance of going back to that?
Possibly.
We're done with that.
I train with the best MMA guys in the world. There's 20 UFC and Bellator fighters at my gym every single day that I'm best friends with, that I go hike and jump off cliffs with. And so I've dabbled around. Those guys see me throw some kicks and mess around a little bit. So who knows, you know? Boxing is my – I just stick out. I look like an MMA guy. I stick out like a sore thumb in the boxing world, and I have a good foundation. And
that was what I was about to say. Does that build your foundation being an MMA guy?
Yeah. There's just so much. There's just so much to it. You know, who knows? If the money's right, of course, you know. That's what set my family up. But right now, things are going good in boxing. I also did some bare-knuckle tryouts too, and I broke some records for the hardest punch that anyone's ever hit their machine, and they wanted me. The numbers weren't right, so I haven't done it. But those guys are kind of there too, and they want me.
Like old school. Like here's the line drawn on the ground, that kind of thing.
Toe to line, knuckle up. Yeah, bare knuckle, splitting each other's faces open with every single punch.
No shit.
Hell yeah.
I just love
fighting.
Like, what was that like? Like, that's a whole nother animal, bro. What was that like getting into that?
Man, it brought back memories. It just brought back memories. I was like, man, just the sound of just this bare fist beating up, bouncing on someone's body or head. And I was just like, ooh, it almost brought like this nastiness back. And I was excited. But I was like, man, I'm still in my prime. Like, my face is still good. Like, as soon as I start fighting, like, I'm going to get split. Like, I'm not scared of it, but my boxing, I'm going to be able to do the boxing. So I'm going to – that's more like a later down the road thing. like at the end of my, if boxing's over or something, blah, 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 you know, it just doesn't work out or whatever, I feel like it's done, then I'll go over to the bare knuckle, because then I don't care if I got some, you know, if I split open easily, I'll just go do some bare knuckle fights, knock some heads or.
Well, that goes back to what I've always said. One of my favorite boxers growing up as a kid to watch was Bernard Hopkins.
Oh, yeah.
God, I thank God he doesn't watch my show, and I'll never run into him. But I've always believed that Bernard Hopkins was as amazing as a boxer as he is, because he's one of the ugliest humans to ever walk the face of the earth.
For sure.
So he didn't care about getting punched in the face.
Yeah, he is ugly.
God, please, Bernard, if you ever catch my show, please understand I mean that with all the respect in the world, and do not punch me in the face. You probably could still hurt me.
Oh, yeah.
Badly. But, you know, it was always because Oscar De La Hoya, Golden Boy, was always like the pretty boy of it all. And De La Hoya and Bernard, when they, oh, God, those fights were fucking amazing.
Yeah.
But that's another thing. Now, you're a left coast guy. I can't help that. You know, we can't get you out here on the right coast.
The left coast.
The left coast.
Hey, man, this is the Wild Wild West. Arizona's a badass place, man. Oh,
God. Out there on the left coast.
No, we're right, man. We're red. We're red around here.
Oh, God, out on the left coast. But we got to get you out here. Have you ever been to Canastota, the Boxing Hall of Fame?
No.
Got to get you out here. It's right here in New York. Canastota, New York is the Professional Boxing Hall of Fame, first week in June. This, they're not a sponsor or nothing. I just happen to know this, but the first week in June is induction week every year.
Huh.
And you'll see guys like Gotti and Ward will come out and hang out with each other.
Nice.
All the pros come out because it's what they have left. But what's cool is if you ever get there, so I've measured my fist against, and you mentioned him, Sugar Ray Leonard, growing up as a kid. He's a Baltimore guy. So it was always about Sugar Ray and, you know, how amazing he was. My hand's about the size of Sugar Ray's. Then they would have whoever that Russian or the German boxer was from. No. This is the guy who beat Jack. He was
Jack Dempsey?
No, God, not Jack Johnson. He was the Olympian. The Nazi Olympian like guy.
Bellotta or whatever? No.
Yeah, his fist has got to be like, it's got to be easily 6 to 8 inches across. It's a monster.
Yeah, it's like George Foreman, or my brother's is like that too. I remember my brother punched me in my face growing up, and it took my whole eye, my whole nose, my whole mouth like that. Bam. It just smoked me.
Now, is your brother a big man too, I'm going to assume?
Yeah, 6'5", 360 pounds. Yeah, he's a monster. He's freaking rhinoceros. Yeah, he's a monster.
And he does ballet. He's very into ballet at this point in his life. Yeah. That's all he does.
Yeah. He's
very into it.
Yeah.
You should see him do a heel kick or whatever those things are called.
I call him Big Worm.
but that's, you know, got to get you out here, brother. Get you out here to see that, because that is one of the most incredible places that you'll ever go. Like here in New York, we have the Baseball Hall of Fame, and then we have the Boxing Hall of Fame.
Heck yeah.
But that boxing,
I've always wanted to come. We were supposed to come last year. It was in the middle of COVID, though. We were supposed to go to Buffalo to see Trent, you know, Jerry's son that played for the Bills. Yeah, we're supposed to go there, but with all the COVID stuff, it wasn't
happening. It's a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
You're better. It you have to be almost like part ninja to get across the state lines. And be like,
I've heard.
Oh, it's, you know, you know, we have a glorious moment here in New York. Lord Commander Cuomo went ahead and resigned.
Yes, sir.
Lord Commander has left his post, which was so great. I don't care what side of the fence you are. I don't care what color you are. I'm not going to get into it. But there is nothing funnier to me than the fact that he is exactly Trump. He's 100%. He is. He just might say different words, but they are the same New York City mob mentality. I run the show, you answer to me mentality. There's nothing different in those two dudes. There's nothing. They're the same human being. when you look at a guy who says things like, this is a Democrat state, and if you're a Republican, you might as well leave. That's some mobster ass shit.
Yeah.
That's some mobster shit.
Yeah. Yeah. I try to stay out of it, man. That stuff
stay is, out of it.
It's been bad. Yeah.
Oh, it's been so horrible. Especially over here. It's like the Lord Commander has gone away. You poor, poor thing. I don't mind though. I'm so happy he's gone. All right.
You guys.
So, brother, we're gonna get ready. We're gonna close the bar up here. We're gonna tighten this up. I know Adam's gotta go like eat like a small animal, fight like an alligator or like a bear or like a badger or something like that. That's another I said badger, so any moment Jeanette's gonna send me some picture of like an English badger, which is the greatest. Have you ever seen an English badger?
No, I haven't.
Dude, if you get a chance, look up English badger and look up honey badger.
Okay.
Like our honey badger in North America is like this vicious animal that'll like square up with a bear, go into a bee's nest and just like tear the shit open. It doesn't care.
Yeah.
The English badger is the most polite animal I've ever seen in my life. It's just like, if they're black and white striped, they're like, excuse me, sir, ma'am, can I go ahead and get a cup of tea today? Oh, didn't mean to eat your vegetables. My bad.
The English badger
is amazing. So we have stuartboxing.com. Make sure I got this right. We can find fights, we can find photos, any videos, anything else we can find on there.
Well, that's kind of where I just started that. I'm just kind of getting everyone's information, then I'll send them like ticket stuff, a new shirt release, just because a lot of people they're so busy with their life and they're not always gonna follow me or catch up on my social media, or I'm not always going to be on their news feed. So that's another way that I can like an exclusive stuff or like just like things that I really want everyone to see. I'll let you know there. You put in your email, your phone number, and then like I'm not going to bombard you with information, but if there's like a new release or a ticket or a fight, you know, coming up, or I really need everyone's support just to gather around because I'm trying to be the heavyweight champ, like I just need more people, I'll let you know from Stuart Boxing. Otherwise, just all social media, you know, look up Adam Stuart, and on, you know, Facebook, Instagram, and then Battleborn. Yeah, you can get your gear there. English badgers rule. Good night. Congrats on the new baby. Thank you. Thank you, Jeanette.
She's the awesome best.
Question, too.
She is the best. So the stuartboxing.com, that's kind of her one-stop shopping for all things Adam Stuart. You got your Instagram, which is?
Adam Stuart_66.
Yep. Adam Stuart_66. We follow Adam. Adam follows us. So if you're following the page, make sure you take a moment, follow him up. We also have obviously Battleborn. We can get, you know, our best of our Battleborn t-shirts, our boxing gear from Battleborn.
Shorts. Yeah. Hoodies. Yeah. We have all that stuff.
I saw the boxing shorts. I may get a pair just because they're so silky. I may need a pair just to sleep in. And that's that Battleborn with the E at the end of battle is actually a 3. So keep that in mind. So that's BATTL3, BORN.com. Make sure you check that out. Any other social media, anywhere else that they can find you at?
No, you can just Google. I think you just Google Adam Stuart Boxer, Adam Stuart Boxer. And if you can find pretty much anything there.
I promise you, and he is absolutely correct. If you look up Adam Stuart Boxing or Adam Stuart Boxer, it will come up. I don't know who the first Adam Stuart was that come up. He was like an Englishman also. He was very well-dressed. And then this Adam comes up. Also for all my details.
I like that.
Yes, that is actually the photo that will come up. Yeah. And I will tell you, for all my geeks out there, Adam looks just like the Mad Swede from American Gods. So go ahead and take a look at that. He looks just like that character. So it's a perfect fitting character also. Mm-hmm. As always, folks, for those of you that have joined us this whole time, please take a moment. Make sure you subscribe. Give us a 5-star rating. Those things are what pushes this show forward, gets more people to listen, gets us amazing guests, like a top 25 boxer in the entire United States, a monster that will take your lunch money from you. That's how we end up with these things. Justin's got one last one for you. Brother Stu, you the man. Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate you, Justin.
Boom, appreciate boom. You. Thanks, Brother Bales.
Make sure you check that out. As always with us, folks, we can always be found at on Instagram, the Above the Bar Podcast. Our Twitter is at Above the Bar 4. Our email is theabovethebarpodcast@gmail.com. The more you like, the more you subscribe. Oh, we got one more quick message. Big dog, Jared White's got you.
Yeah, buddy. Cheddar.
Jumping on here with the big dog, Jared White, making this happen right now. So we've got all this going on, all these amazing, amazing things. A lot of love here from my man, Adam. From my, I guess I got to say it like for my cousin. That's your cousin. That's my cousin right there. That's my cousin right there. I wouldn't, because it would be cousin, because Jerry, my cousin. So, I mean, we forgot.
Cousin, something in there. Something like that.
Somebody's involved here in the woodshed. All right. Yeah. As always, brother, the guest gets the last word. And what is that last word? Oh, wait, God. Good Lord. They all jumping in here. Yeah. Chase Dane says, good stuff, fellas. Yeah, love it.
My man, Chase. Chase is a good dude. Real helpful.
Chase,
man.
I appreciate you, brother, for hanging with us. Bellying up to the bar. Wait, do you get to? Oh shit! Before we leave, do you get to drink? I mean, any drink? Like 3 weeks? Any alcohol?
I probably drink like maybe once or twice a year, three times a year, maybe.
All right, I was just curious. Like,
I'll drink their blood after I knock them out. That's what I drink.
I will drink upon your blood. I will feast upon your soul.
That's right.
Oh, you are the man. Look, before I can close this thing up, Jackie says, Jackie. You go, Adam.
You go, Adam. You go.
Oh, shit. Look at you go. Yeah. All right, brother. So, as always, the guest gets the last word. What's the last word for us?
Thank you all for following, supporting, and watching. Sean, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. I love you all. Let's take this shit to the top, baby. Knocking heads off.
Love yeah. it. All righty, folks. Be sure to push your stool in.
This has been an Earplug Podcast presentation. Found on earplugpodcast.com, iTunes, SoundCloud, and wherever your favorite podcasts are found.